Hello, everyone, and welcome to not just another episode of Lords of Limited. We've got the Wilds of Eldraine Crash Course. My name is Ben Warney, and joining me on the line, as always, Mr. Ethan Gingerbread Man Sachs. Are you ready for some Wilds of Eldraine chat?
Did you just forget that it's called Gingerbread? Mr. Gingerbread Man?
I don't know. I'm riffing here. I'm going off the top. I didn't have anything ready to go.
You know, have you ever played Candyland?
I have. I love good Candyland.
Well, okay, that was more of a positive reaction than I was expecting. The little candy cane dude with the rosy cheeks. People used to tell me I looked like him. That never felt good.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm very excited to talk to you about some Wilds of Eldraine. I'm looking forward to the set. Seems sweet.
This format has a lot going on. There's a lot of cool build arounds, I think, already. And the enchantments, I was salivating while I was doing my grades on the bonus enchantment slot. Like, there are some juicy build around enchantments. I think this format is going to have legs.
I'm glad that you were salivating because I had quite a journey grading that column today. That was the last thing I did today in preparation. And I had done most of my grades before you, but got to that column today and saw yours. And I didn't have the energy, as I usually do, to white them out before grading.
Party foul.
Party foul. I was true to myself, though. But I will say that there were, because like what I did was save myself the embarrassment of me going, this is a D, and you going, but bargain, and then me going, oh. So I don't have that journey. But then there are some that you were salivating over, at least I can only assume because of your grades, that we will have to discuss.
Because you're low on?
I think you are hot and bothered a little bit too much about some of these auras, my friend.
I don't even know what we're arguing about, and I am stoked. I feel very passionate. I feel very passionately about the enchantment bonus slot.
Cannot wait to get to it. And we've got quite a bit to get to. So if you're joining us for the first time for a Crash Course, welcome. We're very excited to have you. And I assume we have some new folks in YouTube land. So welcome out there as well. And got a lot of folks who normally listen via, you know, whatever their podcast medium of choice is, who said, hey, for the like previous episode, and I assume it'll be the case for the Crash Course, watching it on YouTube is really helpful because like I just zone out when people read cards, but it's really helpful to have the card images up. So if that's, you know, if you're listening to the podcast right now and you're like, yeah, that happens to me, hop on over to Lords Limited YouTube channel and watch along there. So what we're going to be doing for the Crash Course, we don't do set review season. We're not giving you a 5-hour card by card grading thing, because honestly, Ben would quit the podcast if I made him do that. But we have graded all the cards individually. Those are going to be found on a spreadsheet where you download the show. You can get access to that. And we'll be going to that spreadsheet a little bit later on in the episode. But first things first, we're going to look at some big picture stuff. We'll check out some creature sizing, some removal, how that lines up with that. Look at the mechanics and their support. Maybe see what mechanics we think will be popping up a lot, be easy to get after, some that'll be a little bit more niche, some things that give us clues to limited formats in general, like what the sweepers are, what incidental life gain there is, what fixing there is, all that good stuff. Then we'll get to the grading scale. Like I said, we will have graded all the cards in a spreadsheet separately, and we do it separately so that we can duke it out, so we can fight. We're gonna get into the arena with each other, and we'll go over all the cards where we had two gradations or more of a difference, and we'll see who is right, who is wrong, etc. And then we'll get to our top three commons and our top two uncommons in each color. Ben, you ready to get down to business?
Well, you're much nicer to our listeners than I am. I was going to tell everyone that's listening right now to go to YouTube and just subscribe on our YouTube. We need to double dip. Like, everyone needs to download the podcast. Everybody that's on YouTube, if you're not getting the podcast in those apps, just bump us up.
That's true.
Places.
That's true. I think that's fair. Like, subscribe, do all the things, comment for the algorithm, as people say. And we got some housekeeping stuff to take care of first before we get into this slog of a show. So first things first is the Patreon page, patreon.com/lordsoflimited, is where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose. A lot of great stuff happening over at the Patreon page. The best thing, of course, is the Lords Limited Discord, which everybody who gives back via the Patreon gets access to. It's Arena Open weekend, Ben. We're smack dab in the middle of the Arena Cube Open. I'm happy to say on my second bullet, I managed to get there with one of the classic archetypes we outlined, green, white, black, Lurrus. I think we told everybody to draft that deck in the cube, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was salivating over the Discord ring ban today. I was just keeping up in touch with what people were posting, seeing what the decks were like. I am currently bulletless. So, you know, undefeated, but I will be firing my first bullet, rest assured, after we're done recording today.
Yeah. We're getting things done nice and early here in the late afternoon on Saturday, so Ben can hopefully queue up for tomorrow. So a lot of great stuff happening in the Discord. We got discussions and support for folks participating in these high stakes draft events like the Arena Opens that happen every month now, like the Mythic Championship qualifiers, all that good stuff. And then, of course, new set season. I mean, it's a crash course. This is the time you want to get on the Discord. Get prepared to, you know, crush some fools at your local game store, at your FNM, at your pre-release, whatever, and then get, you know, up to speed on the format before it drops on Arena so you can crush some fools there. So a lot of other stuff happening at the Patreon page. Get access to the show a day in advance, ad-free. Get access to our show notes if you want the show in written form. Show notes for episodes like the Crash Course are very extensive. I'm looking at a 6-page Word document here, as well as we've got our 13-tab spreadsheet. So all that good stuff available to you via the Patreon page. And of course, we want to shout out our new patrons the first week they join. This week, we're welcoming Amateus, Pei, Carson, Robert, Cody, Kit, Thomas, Clyde, Dylan, Fugu, Peter, Devin, Colin, and Hiroshi. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Yeah, cannot say thank you enough. Show is also brought to you by Cool Stuff Inc., coolstuffinc.com, where they've got cool stuff in stock. And you better believe they're not in stock yet, but those Wilds of Eldraine booster boxes are just waiting for you to click that pre-order button and get them into your closet. Your closet is not going to be experiencing any woe. It's going to be like, ooh, yeah, get these booster boxes on up in here. Get stuff at the top of the shelf, got some middle shelves. I got plenty of room in my new house.
Oh, yeah. Stuff
Wilds of Eldraine booster boxes everywhere.
That's so true. We're going to get to really see the collection in action on your new streaming setup.
Yeah, I was just telling Ethan, I'm going to have some sweet cabinetry behind me. So I'm going to be a real streamer boy. I'm going to have like a little setup where people can see into my home instead.
Maybe you'll finally use that microphone arm I got you for your birthday a few years ago.
Maybe I will.
That's also cool stuff.
It made the move with me. So whether you're getting Wilds of Eldraine draft booster boxes, board games, anything, you name it, they've got it in stock at coolstuffinc.com. Please use code LOL, all caps, to get 5% off your order.
All right, Ben. Stats, baby. What's great about Wilds of Eldraine, I feel like this is the first set in a while.
No disclaimers?
No disclaimers. Just 106 creatures, I don't have to say, and then some spells with a mass, and then some battles that flip into creatures. I don't have to do any of that nonsense. We just have classic creatures this time around. So we're going to be going up the toughness scale, looking at what number/percentage does specific removal hit of these 106 creatures, starting out with, we've been sort of, you know, eyeing this a little bit. One toughness creatures, better look out, because there's quite a few things targeting you specifically. What do we have up first?
We've got Rat Out. Single black for an instant, up to one target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. You create a 1/1 black rat creature token with this creature can't block. Can we just call those rat tokens? We don't need to say that every time.
You know, they can't block, okay? We've also got Flick a Coin, 2 red for an instant at common. It deals 1 damage to any target. You create a treasure token and you draw a card.
Lastly, we've got Shrouded Shepherd, 1 white for a 2/2 ETBs. Target creature you control gets +2/+2 until end of turn. But wait, there's more. An adventure, Cleave Shadows, 1 black for a sorcery. Creatures your opponents control get -1/-1 until end of turn. The Bane of the Rat Army.
Yeah, so there's 18 creatures with toughness 1, which is about 17% of the total creatures at common and uncommon. And I should say again, for folks who are joining us for the first time for the Crash Course, we will only, except when we get to the sweepers, that's the only time we will not be talking just about commons or uncommons. But for the rest of this, we're only taking commons and uncommons into account. So that's 17% of that total creatures. But then plus, there's rat tokens. And there's some human tokens. So there's some more non-creature creatures that exist there beyond the 17%.
All right, that takes us on to the X2 removal. First up, we've got Torch the Tower, red for an instant with Bargain. Deals 2 damage to target creature Planeswalker. If the spell is Bargained, instead it deals 3 damage to that permanent and you scry 1. And if a permanent dealt damage by Torch the Tower would die this turn, exile it instead.
There's Frantic Firebolt, 2 red for an instant that deals X damage to target creature, where X is 2 plus the number of cards in your graveyard that are instant cards, sorcery cards, and or have an adventure.
How do you feel about that card? I like it. It was in my top commons. I moved it out. I was experiencing some self-doubt after reading things in the Lords of Limited Discord.
That seems like as much of a party foul as me not whiting out your grades in the spreadsheet for 3 minutes or whatever. This seems like it's probably just a secret blue red gold card.
Right. I'm just pretty high on blue red, I think.
You? So, high on blue red? That's shocking.
I know, right? Next, we've got Gingerbread Hunter, which is a 5-mana 5/5 that ETBs to make a food, but it also has an adventure that stomps puny 2/2s. It's got puny snack for an instant, 2 and a black. Target creature gets -2/-2 until end of turn at instant speed.
And then there's a colorless removal-ish spell, 3 bowls of porridge, 2 mana for an artifact food. Pay 2 tap to choose one that hasn't been chosen, and one of those modes is deal 2 damage to target creature. So we've got 28 creatures with toughness 2, which brings us up to 46 total. That's 43% total of the creatures, so a little less than half. Honestly, this is a little lower than we usually see. We usually see this creeping up to actually 50%. Honestly, the X ones we've also seen creeping up to more like 20%, so a little lower on those two stat lines.
How does that make you feel about Torch the Tower, the single red, deal 2 damage at instant speed? I was super high on that, and I think I am a little less so after seeing that Unbargained, it only hits 43% of the creatures.
I think I'm okay with it because it scales up. Like, it just depends on how, like, Bargain seems to me like the name of the game. So this is one of the mechanics we'll get to in a little bit, but Bargain is the mechanic of, you know, you get a bonus for, I think there's about 16 spells at common or uncommon. If you sacrifice a token, an artifact, or an enchantment when you cast it, and that'll bump up that Torch the Tower to 3. I think that that's going to be kind of the name of the game in enabling your Bargain stuff as much as possible. And I like the Torch the Tower has that. So I don't know. I'm still pretty high on it.
Okay.
Moving on to X3s, we've got Kellen's Light Blades. This is 1 and a white for an instant, deals 3 damage to target attacking or blocking creature, but it's got Bargain, and if the spell is Bargained, you destroy that creature instead.
We've also got Candy Grapple, 1 and a black for an instant with Bargain. Target creature gets -3/-3 until end of turn. If it was Bargained, the creature gets -5/-5 until end of turn instead.
Best common in the set?
It's very good, and that hits 35 creatures with toughness 3, or 76% of the creatures overall for Kellen's Light Blades and Candy Grapple.
Yeah, 3/4 of the creatures are common or uncommon. Now, obviously, like, again, with all of the roll tokens running around, like, things will get buffed a little bit, etc. But this is just the raw stats. That takes us on to X4s with only one specific spell targeting 4 toughness creatures, which is Cut In. It's 3 and a red for a sorcery. It deals 4 damage to target creature, and you create a young hero roll token attached to up to 1 target creature you control. That's the one that grows your creature if it has toughness 3 or less. That brings us up to 92%. 16 creatures with toughness 4, 97 out of 106. So almost all of them.
Yeah. Moving on to the X5. First up, we've got Witchstalker Frenzy. 3 and a red for an instant. Costs 1 less to cast for each creature that attacked this turn, which is wildly good. Deals 5 damage to target creature.
Yeah. And then the only other thing that targets specifically X5s is Candy Grapple when it's Bargained. And we're almost at the full capacity here. 6 creatures with toughness 5, or 102 of the 106, which is 96%. So basically leaving out only 4 creatures that need to be dealt with basically just catch-all removal at that point.
All right, some other stuff we've got going on. We've got a spell that hits creatures with power 4 or greater. This is Moment of Valor. This is 2 and a white for an instant. You choose one, untap target creature. It gets +1/+0 and gains indestructible until end of turn, or you destroy target creature with power 4 or greater.
And just like the 1 toughness creatures, there are 18 creatures total with power 4 or greater, so that's 17%. But again, many of them being buffed by some roll tokens as well. Moving on, I wanted to check out mana value 2 or less and mana value 3 or less. For mana value 2 or less, we have Witch's Vanity, which is 1 and a black for a saga, and chapter 1 says destroy target creature an opponent controls with mana value 2 or less. There are 36 creatures total with mana value 2 or less. So that's 34%, about a third of the creatures that'll hit.
And that takes us on to spells that hit mana value 3 or less. First up is Glass Casket, an oldie but a goodie. 1 and a white for an artifact. When ETBs, exile target creature an opponent controls with mana value 3 or less until Glass Casket leaves the battlefield.
And there's Feed the Cauldron, a new card. A newie but a baddie. 2 and a black for an instant. Destroy target creature with mana value 3 or less. If it's your turn, you get a food token. And that takes us up to 63% of the total creatures. So mana value 2 or less, about a third of the creatures. Mana value 3 or less, about 2/3 of the creatures.
All right. Anything else going on with removal that is worth talking about here?
Honestly, Not really. Like, we usually have, like, oh, and then this, there's some cute here. The removal's pretty, like, straightforward in this set. And if you want to know everything we're talking about when we're referring to removal, we've got a tab in our spreadsheet available where you download the show where all of our grades are. You can check that out there. We've pointed out black and red both getting X1 hate it common. They have their usual, like, medium and big kill spell past that. Important to note, blue's both getting a bounce plus draw and a tuck, the, like, sort of owner puts it on top or bottom of their library. They're getting both of those at common. White and blue both getting aura based removal spells, and green getting its usual spread of a fight spell at common and a bite spell at uncommon. The things we didn't end up counting in the spreadsheet were those X1 removal spells. Those felt, I just couldn't quite bring myself to call Rat Out a removal spell, you know? So I didn't put those on the sheet. There's an expensive tapper that we'll maybe chat about when we get to mana sinks. There are three disenchants, which I left out, but it remains to be seen, right? You know, you were sort of bringing me up on break the spell last week, the single white, blow up an enchantment. You know, enchantments are a big theme in Wilds of Eldraine. There's the roll tokens, of course. There's the bonus sheet of all the enchantments that are pretty powerful that Ben has been salivating over. That's the, that's if you're counting, that's three times we've said salivating now this episode. And then there are three counter spells that we didn't put on the spreadsheet as well. We haven't counted those as removal, even though that's often one of blue's better ways to interact, depending. So that's it. Yeah. Did you notice anything interesting about the removal beyond that?
No, other than that, it either looks good or clunky. Not a lot in between.
Right. I think so. I was like, there were a lot of spells where I was like, oh, that's pretty good. And then some, like, I mean, like the aforementioned Feed the Cauldron, you know, is the, you know, the card you're basically never going, you're either going to be mana neutral with, or you're going to be paying a premium on, I felt like was pretty clunky. So yeah, removal looking pretty good there. Let's take a quick little ad break, and we'll be back with the rest of the Crash Course. Whether you're a teacher adjusting to the start of the school year, or a parent adjusting to the sleep schedule of a 7-month-old, falling asleep, staying asleep, and waking up feeling rested oftentimes is more difficult than qualifying for day 2 of the Arena Open.
Prioritizing quality sleep is one of the best ways to take care of yourself. Instead of lingering on your phone before bed, make sleep your simplest self-care routine with the Hatch Restore.
Think of the Hatch Restore as your bedside sleep guide, your trusty companion, your 41st card, if you will. This all-in-one dream machine is a sophisticated sound machine, light and alarm clock, beautifully designed for your bedside table.
The Hatch Restore was engineered to help you form healthy sleep habits for life by teaching your body when it's time to sleep and when it's time to rise with light and sound cues.
I have always needed some kind of audio to be able to fall asleep. And to not disturb my wife, I use headphones when I fall asleep and I listen to something on my phone. Sometimes I have the screen on. Sometimes I fall asleep watching something on my screen. The Hatch Restore is helping me break myself of those bad habits by providing a calming environment to help me fall asleep and stay asleep throughout the night.
Like a good draft deck, great sleep can't be forced, but the Hatch Restore is here to help. Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of a Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/LOL.
Sleep deeply and wake gently with the Restore. Go to hatch.co/LOL to get $20 off and free shipping. That's hatch.co/LOL. And now, back to the show. All right, that is going to bring us to new and returning mechanics. As I said before, I think Bargain, the bonus for sacking an artifact, enchantment, or token, is going to be kind of the name of the game a little bit. This is one of the mechanics that's spread across all five colors, one of the two mechanics that's spread across all five colors. There are 16 cards with Bargain at common or uncommon.
It's not a ton.
But there are tons of cards that make various tokens. We've got the roll auras, we've got food, we've got a handful of treasure makers, we've got rats, we've got a handful of human makers. Too many to count. I wasn't going to go through and give you some large number. Plus, there's artifacts and there's enchantments, right? You will have sack fodder for Bargain if you want it. And I do think, like, there's going to be some deviations from perhaps, you know, common pick orders or tier lists the more you're going down this road. Like, two of my favorite enablers are these little enchantment commons. One of them being Hopeful Vigil, which is one and a white. For an enchantment, when it enters the battlefield, you get a 2/2 white knight creature token with vigilance. When Hopeful Vigil is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, you scry 2, and you can pay 2 and a white to sacrifice Hopeful Vigil.
Yeah, that card is absolutely nuts. It's just a good card, and then also very synergistic in addition to that.
Right.
There's also Hopeless Nightmare, black for an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, each opponent discards a card and loses 2 life, and when it's put into a graveyard from the battlefield, you scry 2, and you can also pay 2 and a black to sacrifice it.
So, like, what's awesome about Hopeful Vigil, the white one, is that you've got both the 2/2 token that you could sacrifice to bargain, right? Or you've got the Hopeful Vigil enchantment. Obviously, you'd rather sacrifice Hopeful Vigil, because then you still get that scry too when you bargain it. So that's like a real awesome bargain enabler there. So I think you'll want to be on the lookout for those kinds of cards. But there were lots of little things where I was like, oh, that's cool. As we'll get to when we get to Celebration, the thing that cares about 2 permanents, there were lots of sneaky things. Whereas I was scrolling through the card image gallery, I was like, oh, that makes 2 tokens. Like the 3-mana 3/3 lifelinker that comes into play with a cursed roll token on it. I was like, oh, that's coming. That's 2 permanents for 1 card there, you know? So some sneaky stuff happening with bargain as well.
Well, and also, do you think the choking point is going to be just getting enough cards with bargain then, right? Because the green common that's Hamlet Glutton, the 6/6 trample, when ETBs gain 3, if you bargain that, it costs 5 instead of 7. That card's a house. Like, if you could consistently make that 5-mana 6/6 trample gain 3, that's a really strong card, right?
I definitely think it will be easier to enable bargain, but not free.
You're gonna have to do some work in deck building.
And I think, you know, for us and our listeners, maybe it will feel like a bit of a playground for the first week or two, where maybe things that make these, you know, I do think we're in rectangle land, folks. I'm sorry to say, if you hate me saying that word or you think rectangle theory is dumb or whatever, you better strap in, because we got a few months of it coming up. But I do think, like, the cards that just like make multiple pieces of cardboard, even if it's just like the 3-mana 2/3 in red that makes a treasure token, like these sort of innocuous looking things, the treasure you get from flick a coin, you know, these little incidental pieces of cardboard that you're going to get from various cards are quite valuable, especially if you're valuing cards like Hamlet Glutton, as Ben shouted out earlier, as I think you and I both will be.
All right, that takes us on to roll tokens. So remember, there are 6 different rolls that you can put on creatures, and there's 28 total cards that can create roll tokens spread fairly evenly across all 5 colors. And we've got green-white as the archetype that specifically cares about auras going on creatures. But again, these roll tokens that you're going to put on creatures are then also sacrifice fodder potentially for bargain down the road.
Right. And we can just repeat, like, the roll tokens go on a card that a creature can't have 2 roll tokens owned by the same player on them. So, like, if you want to put a new roll token on your creature, it's going to knock off the old one, etc. Green white, we've got Sir Armont the Redeemer that cares about, you know, enchanted creatures you control get +1/+1. This is 3 green white for a 4/4, and it puts a monster roll token on something.
And we've also got Tanglespan Lookout, 2 and a green for a 2/3. When an aura enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card.
I'm going to need that card to be like abysmal, or I will just never pass it. Like, I really need that card to be terrible, because if it's even just like a C, just like, there's no hope for me. Takes us on to food tokens. This is concentrated just in Golgari and black green. There are 14 total cards that make food, plus 4 artifacts that are themselves food.
Yeah, and I think there's some good cards that use food in some serious ways, almost energy type resources. I think what we were hoping for from Lord of the Rings, but that didn't quite actually pan out due to how good the Grixis colors were and how good Ring Tempting was. But it looks similar to that, where you're using food as a resource.
Yeah, and we shouted out a bunch of these last week. We already got to talk about the black-green signpost, the card that you and I are sort of medium hopeful on, Knight of the Sweet's Revenge, the enchantment that turns your food into mana dorks, essentially, and then overruns. There's Sweet Tooth Witch. That's the thing that lets you sack food to drain your opponent for 2. Got a couple new ones I wanted to chat about. Hollow Scavenger is up first. You know, I was talking about, I was like, what if green has an Argothian Opportunist, a 3-mana 3/2 that makes a food? We almost got there. We got Hollow Scavenger. It's 2 and a green for a 3/2. You can pay 1, sacrifice a food. It gets +2/+2 until end of turn, but you can activate this only once each turn. But it's also got an adventure, Bakery Raid, single green, create a food token. So if this is in your opener, pretty innocuous to have this as your turn 1 play, and then Hollow Scavenger on 3.
Yeah, strong card. There's also Welcome to Sweet Tooth, which is Green Saga from that uncommon cycle of sagas. One or green, chapter one, you make a 1/1 white human creature token. Chapter two, you get a food. Chapter three, you put X +1/+1 counters on target creature you control, where X is 1 plus the number of foods you control. This card, it looks very strong.
Oh, good. Phew. I guess I am really excited about that card, and I needed a little bit of a reality check on that one.
It's good. I mean, like, at a worst, you're getting a delayed 3/3 for 2 mana, but the ceiling on this card is quite high.
Yeah. Okay, that takes us on to Celebration. This is the mechanic that cares about 2 or more non-land permanents entering the battlefield under your control. This is purely concentrated in Boros, so red-white. There are 7 payoffs, and honestly, they're all pretty minimal. And the bummer about them really is that they're all self-contained, right? They all only, with the exception of Belligerent of the Ball, which is the 3-mana 3/3 celebration trigger, something gets +1/+0 and menace until end of turn. With the exception of that, the other 6 can only target themselves, right? Like the signpost, Ash, puts a +1/+1 counter on itself. There's nothing that's like, your creatures get +1/+0 until end of turn. Like, feels very small ball to me.
Yeah, and there's other cards that reward you for going wide. There's ways to pump your team and things like that, but there's not a lot of celebration working with itself in some ways, because also the cards that have celebration only make one thing, right? That's a little weird too.
Yes. So like I said, and I sort of went through I just went through red and white's cards, because that's only where this mechanic is concentrated, to see, well, how many ways are there to enable this? Things like that are just self-contained. One card makes 2 non-land permanents. There are 6 in white and 5 in red, so 11 total. I already shouted out 1, the Cursed Courtier. That's the 3-mana 3/3 lifelink that comes into play with a cursed roll token on it.
There's Red Cap Thief. This is 2 in a red for a 2/3. ETBs make a treasure, but that's not what you want in your red-white beatdown deck, right?
I don't know what you want in your red-white beatdown deck. I mean, there's also Besotted Knight. This is the 3 in a white 3/3, so just 4-mana 3/3, but it has an adventure, Betrothed the Beast, create a royal roll token for a single white mana. So I guess if you do this in one turn, right, 3 white, you could get multiple things, or maybe you Betrothed the Beast plus something else in a turn and then Besotted Knight. I don't know, but like, it's not looking great to me. Celebration's looking pretty small ball to me.
Well, what I do need, we had talked about a reality check earlier. I want to chat with you about the cycle of cards that have the adventure make a roll token, because they're all 4 drops.
Uh-huh.
And they all make a roll token.
They're not all 4 drops.
Are they not all 4 drops?
The black one's a 3-mana 2/3 menace.
Oh, yeah, right. The black one's insane. But the others all look excellent to me, too. And I don't know if I'm too high on them. I was trying to get them into the top commons, but it's tough. I've got my eye on those cards.
I like the black one a lot. The other ones I am not crazy about.
But interesting.
We'll have to see. Just because, like, I don't know, man. I'm feeling maybe it's the cube boogie woogies, but I'm feeling the choke point on that 4 drop slot a lot.
Right, for sure. All right, that takes us on to Instants and Sorceries and Adventures, which is concentrated in Is It Oh My. There's 11 total cards that care about instant sorceries or adventures, and 3 of them are adventures themselves, which is cool because they're kind of both a payoff and enabler for the other ones. And most notably, a card I am quite hyped about. We have a payoff at a card I'm quite hyped about. We have a payoff at common, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Unruly Catapult. 2 in a red for an 0/4 artifact creature construct with Defender. You can tap it to deal 1 damage to each opponent, and whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, untap Unruly Catapult.
Thermo Alchemist, let's go.
Yeah, you and I have different feelings about Thermo Alchemist costing 3 mana versus 2 mana.
It's going to be fine. It's an 0/4.
It's
going to
be fine.
It's going to be fine. Cards are going to be great.
Yeah. Speaking of things that I am not super excited about, Power 4 or greater.
Ooh, I am excited about Power 4 or greater.
This is concentrated in Gruul, as it often is. There's only 4 cards at common or uncommon with the text care about creatures with power 4 or greater, 3 of which are at uncommon. I think this looks to be largely incidental. I mean, large monsters are definitely a thing, but I don't know if you care that much about, you know, you had sort of gotten me on board with Little Red last week, the signpost uncommon. I was like, oh, I'm in for this. I haven't seen much in the full spoiler to make me excited about it beyond that.
Well, there's the 2 drop that's like a 3/3 that smashes if you're in this archetype, which you're only going to get if you're in this archetype. And I would say that's another thing that seems to be true. Nobody else wants that card.
Why? It's a 2-mana 2/3.
Nobody else is putting that card in their deck.
I'll take it.
I'm sure you will.
I'll have one.
I'm sure you will. Right alongside your 2/3 that's drawing you cards when you put adventures on.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
You're gonna suit everything up with those aura rolls.
Exactly.
The hard way. Homegrown 4-powered things from Ethan Sachs, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Farm to table 4 drops or whatever.
So I do think this archetype is pretty supported. It checks all the boxes. There's 3-mana 4/2s in red and green. And there might not be a
notably
ton of
great stat line in limited. What are you talking about?
No. I remember where I was going with this.
Okay.
So I think this is going to be similar to original Eldraine in that the archetypes are largely linear, right? So if you find the open archetype, you're going to be getting cards for your archetype late, right? If blue-red spells is open, nobody else largely wants the blue-red spells other than removal. Red-green 4-power is also, I think, even more so that way in that, like, probably should only be one drafter doing red-green. But if you are that person, you're likely to get all of the stuff. So even if there's not high numbers of payoffs here, I do think the payoffs that I've seen look strong. I remember thinking, looking through the spoiler, I'm kind of here for red-green.
Okay. Well, remains to be seen, I guess.
That takes us on to our next one, which is mana value 5 or greater. This is concentrated in Simic.
Yeah, this is 6 total cards, so pretty sparse, much like the Gruul mechanic. That's 2 commons, 4 uncommons. Another one that seems largely incidental. I did want to get your thoughts on one of them. This is Up the Beanstalk. It's 1 and a green for an enchantment. When Up the Beanstalk enters the battlefield and whenever you cast a spell with mana value 5 or greater, draw a card. The fact that this replaces itself up front is really decent. Like, if this didn't do that, it would be an F, I would think, or like build around D or something. But the fact that this replaces itself up front is pretty dang good. I mean, this is just also like 2-mana enchantment replaces itself. Hey, I can bargain this away.
Right. That's what I was thinking. I mean, I don't love this mechanic as a thing. Like, signing up to single spell on turns like 5 through 9 does not sound like winning Magic to me for the most part.
Yeah.
So I'm much less jazzed about Simic than I am Gruul.
Yeah. I'm not really jazzed about either. So those are the mechanics.
All right, that takes us on to sweepers. We always check this out because this can be a big part of the format, you know, remembering to sandbag against White Sun's Twilight or the Eternal Wanderer or what have you. Like, this is a big part of limited. So first sweeper we've got here is Expel the Interlopers. It says 3 white-white for a sorcery. You choose a number between 0 and 10 and you destroy all creatures with power greater than or equal to the chosen number.
So that's just like fine. Right there, basically. Like, it's 5-mana, so you're not, like, getting any sort of great deal there for your sweeper. You can certainly get under a sweeper like that. And I gotta say, Ben, I know you and I are pretty big fans of formats that don't have a lot of sweepers. There's not much. Like, I sort of had to stretch for the other two. We've got Asinine Antics. 2 blue-blue for a sorcery. You can cast it as though it had flash. You pay 2 more to cast it. And for each creature your opponents control, you create a cursed roll token attached to that creature. And that turns the creature into a 1/1.
And lastly, we've got Spectre of Mortality. 3 black-black for a 3/3 flyer. When it ETBs, you may exile 1 or more creature cards from your graveyard. When you do, each other creature gets -X/-X until end of turn, where X is the number of cards exiled this way. That card is absurd.
That card's incredible, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the other two, meh, not into it. Next up is Fixing. And bad news for my win rate. There's a lot of Fixing in this format. So there are 3 lands that all help you fix, like, for all 5 colors. So the first one is Evolving Wilds. So it's a land that taps sack and goes and finds a basic, puts it into play, tapped.
We've also got Crystal Grotto, which is not very good. This is a filter land, right?
Yeah, it's filter land, but this is the Scry 1 filter land. I feel like this was an overperformer last time.
No, this card's terrible.
No, this card was good.
Was it?
Yeah.
I missed the memo on that. I think this card's garbage.
In DMU? No?
No.
In your favorite set?
This card's bad.
Okay. And we've also got Edgewall Inn. That's the land that we talked about being nuts. It's Uncharted Haven, but then lets you get back an adventure card by sacking it and paying 3 later on. We were talking about last week, is there going to be a golden egg? Boy, howdy, is there a golden egg. There's Prophetic Prism reprinted in the set. It's a 2-mana artifact, cantrips, and you can pay 1, tap it to add a mana of any color.
It's going to let you get all those off-color kickers in there, premium bargain fodder.
Yeah.
It's just going to do it all. Mm-hmm. There's also Scarecrow Guide, 2-mana for a 2/1 with reach, and you can pay 1 mana to filter a mana through it once each turn.
And then there's two green commons, one that searches up a basic, one that's a mana dork that can filter for any color, and five treasure makers. Four of them are just one-offs. One of them, a repeatable treasure maker. This is Collector's Vault. It's two mana for an artifact. You pay two, tap, draw a card, discard a card, make a treasure. Where are you at on Collector's Vault, Ben?
Yeah, I think this card's okay. I have high hopes for it being a thing potentially. I mean, it's not a powerful card, but you're essentially at worst paying one mana to loot, which is not great. But the fact that it also is two mana, if you have the mana available, this is unlimited bargaining, like with the extra treasure token. I mean, that's not nothing.
Not nothing, but it is. That's a tough sell. Just so much not affecting the board.
I seem to like this more than you.
This is the tale as old as time. You're ever the optimist in the crash course. I'm the pessimist, and then our roles change once we get our hands on the cards.
All right, moving on to incidental life gain. We've got food as a headlining mechanic, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be bumping those life totals up in black and green specifically. There's also some lifelink that's all kind of conditional on some creatures. And there's a handful of ways to gain life as one-shot things. But basically, it is food primarily.
Right, so black-green gets to gain life. And like I said, there's the four artifacts that are food themselves. And so all things that are food have the two tap sack gain three. So you get to do that. Which takes us on to mana sinks. How many places are there going to be repeatable or incidental to put mana? Well, big headliner in all caps is food. And lots of creatures that use food with mana, right? We talked about things that not only are going to be cashing in food, like you can obviously pay the two mana to cash in the food for life, but you can also then, you know, there's the handful of things that let you use the food in other ways. And this is not a repeatable mana sink, but it's going to be a sort of inherent place to put mana. And that's adventures, right? A lot of your, like, we've talked about this before, like, it's really hard to run out of gas in a format with adventures, like original Eldraine, because, like, you just end up with these 28, 29 spell decks, you know?
Yeah, adventures are going to mean you're not going to run out of stuff to do. I agree. There's creatures that have pump effects that are not great, but I think rest assured the takeaway is whether we're trying to look at whether mana sinks are scarce or prevalent, there are plenty of things to do with your mana in this format.
For sure. I think the best ones is, if you're following along with our show notes at home via the Patreon, the best ones are in green. There's like a recurrable Aura, Bestial Bloodline. There's a recurrable creature, Redtooth Vanguard. Tough Cookie animates food. And then there's Verdant Outrider, which has pseudo evasion. So like those are the other ones are just like kind of clunky in the other colors. But again, places to put mana.
All right. You know what time it is.
It's time for the grade off.
Well, you know, this is also the first time we have been able to see each other during this. This could get heated. This actually might be the end of the podcast, folks. There's gonna be no hiding reactions here.
So like I said, here's how it worked. We graded the cards separately. We've highlighted all of them in the spreadsheet where we had two or more gradations difference. So let's talk about that grading scale. We are using the limited resources A through F scale. Starting with the A's, these are bombs, game winners, good in many situations, especially when behind. They're the best cards in the set, bomb rares, hyper-efficient spells like Orcish Bowmasters, Anduril Flame of the West, and Faramir, or Unfaramir, Prince of Ithilien.
Moving on to the B's, which are strong cards that pull you into a color, make you want to play that color, reasons to be in a particular color or combination of colors, the best commons, and good uncommons. Ethan, you made a mistake in our show notes here.
Oh, was Bath Song supposed to be an A?
Yeah, the Bath Song's in the B's. It should have been up, up, up into
I'll
the
be honest,
A's.
I had Saruman's trickery here, but I was like, Ben's gonna want Bath Song just as a send-off. So here it is.
I appreciate it. So we've got Nazgul, the Bath Song, Bill the Pony, Rally at the Hornburg.
C's are your solid playables, the meat and potatoes of a limited deck, role player creatures, normal removal spells. Errand Rider of Gondor, Birthday Escape, Generous Ent, Quarrel's End.
That takes us on to the D's, sometimes playable below average 22nd, 23rd type cards. Things like Eastmark Cavalier, Lothlorien Lookout, Gimli's Axe, and Greyhaven Navigator.
Your F's are unplayable cards you should never put in your deck. Sometimes weird rares, cards that podcast hosts get woefully wrong in the crash course. Like Entraft Basin, Long List of the Ents, and Watcher in the Water.
Your sideboard cards, which are cards that don't make the main deck, but when you board them in can be quite good. Things like Shower of Arrows or Fog on the Barrow Downs.
Build around cards. Cards that don't do much on their own, but when you build around them can be good to great. Frodo Baggins, Gandalf's Sanction, Doors of Durin.
And that takes us on to synergy cards, which are cards that are not quite good enough to build around, but do provide good synergy if they're in the right deck. Things like Hithlane Knots or Haunt of the Dead Marshes.
And then we added this in last time. We've got Diminishing Returns. These are cards where the second copy of is significantly worse than the first. Cards like The Black Breath, Nasty End, Westfold Rider, or Revive the Shire. Ready to get into this, baby?
Yeah, let's do it. We're kicking things off with Armory Mice. This is 1W for a 3/1 mouse, and it's got Celebration. It gets +0/+2 as long as two or more non-land permanents enter the battlefield under your control this turn. You gave us a D. I gave this a C-. I like this card. 2-mana 3-1 is fine. This will be able to attack as a 3-3 maybe 2 times over the course of the game, 2 to 3 times over the course of the game. I think you're probably, my guess would be for your argument, and I purposely didn't change my grade because I think you're probably more right than me. I'm going to a little prematurely concede, but stuff that doesn't block rat tokens gets a bit of a knock, right?
Right, so this can never block with 3 toughness. There's not really ways to get Celebration on your opponent's turn at instant speed. I mean, we are going to have this difference a lot, so I think we can have this conversation right now, because a lot of the cards that you highlighted from our grading differences are just X1s. I was really harsh against 1-toughness creatures. So not only not being able to block rats, and maybe this just isn't going to be that big of a deal. Like, it's like, well, it's only... Is it really just the red black deck? Is it really 1 of 10 decks? Like, because red and black, that's where the rat tokens are. Red and black, that's where rat out and flick a coin exist, which I expect both will be, at least all decks will want the first copy of each of those, I would assume. With those running around, plus some, you know, 1/1 humans that are incidental, the 1-toughness creatures, I was pretty harsh against in my grading.
I think probably correctly. And red and black both look head and shoulders above the other colors to me as well. Like, certainly red. Red is broken in half.
Yeah, and I like black quite a bit. Next up, we've got, wow, we're just coming out the gate here. Moment of Valor. 2W for an instant. Choose one. Untap target creature. It gets +1/+0 and gains indestructible until end of turn. Or destroy target creature with power 4 or greater. I gave this a D. And you gave this a C+. And I also know that this is in a certain someone's top 3 white commons.
It is. Still there. I like this card a lot. It is never dead. And it's very difficult to play around, I think. It's going to enable attacks for you. Like, it does double duty. It enables attacks for you. And also, it's going to blow things up. And you saw during the stats, it was only, what, 17 or 18%?
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be shot up by the roll tokens running around, right, too? So there's going to be more creatures with power 4 or greater than normal thanks to the roll tokens. I love this card.
Yeah, I never value the second half of this card. I like anytime we have this effect, whatever, bring to trial is like the first one that comes to mind. But any of these like blow up 4 power or greater cards in white, I never like. And 3-mana is just so much to pay for this trick. I understand that you get both tacked on, it's never dead. It's just so much mana. I would be really surprised if this was in C+ territory.
I would be surprised if it wasn't. I mean, somebody's going to be really right or really wrong.
Right.
I think the fact that this is combat trick plus removal spell, like, this just does so much for you.
But the trick is so bad.
More than a normal removal spell.
The trick is so bad.
I agree, but like, are you, when I attack my 3-3 into your 4-4, are you blocking? Like, when I'm a white deck, like, you just can't.
Why
not? If
this
card is good.
Then that takes your whole turn.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing is, like, you don't get to make the argument of, like, oh, I guess just blow you out savagely with my 1-mana trick. Sure, that's why those 1-mana tricks we shouted out last week, the single red and single green ones, are so broken because of the tempo they provide. This isn't providing you any tempo as a trick.
Yeah, it's providing you modality, which I think is pretty strong. I agree it's not providing you tempo. I like this card.
Next up, we've got Charmed Clothier. This is 4W for a 3-3 flyer. When it enters the battlefield, you create a royal roll token attached to another target creature you control. I gave this a C+. You gave this a C-. We're basically going to have the same argument we had last week, I guess.
Which is that this is clunky, right?
Well, that's what you think.
That's what I think, yes.
I think this is not clunky. It's providing you 4 power and toughness for 5-mana, 3 of which is evasive, 1 of which could be hasty, and it's providing you rectangles. You're getting an aura that matters. You're getting something you can bargain away that matters. You're getting, maybe you care about two permanents entering the battlefield. I just think this does enough. Now, whether or not you can grade a five drop common a C+, maybe that's just where we're at here, and maybe you can't. But I think this does a lot.
Are you hoping to end up with like two of these in your deck at the end of the draft?
It depends like what the other fives look like. I don't know.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I just don't think it's going to be anything special.
Okay.
All right, next we've got Gallant Pie Wielder. This is 2 and a white for a 2/3 with first strike. And if you celebrate, it's got double strike.
Yeah, again, I'm just being negative here. I gave this a D+. You gave it a C.
It's hard for a 3-mana 2/3 first strike to be any less than a C for me, with upside of potentially gaining double strike.
Yeah, that's probably right. I'll go C. I just don't like this card.
All right, moving on to blue. First common up, we've got Aquatic Alchemist. This is 1 and a blue for a 1/3. When you cast your first instant or sorcery spell each turn, it gets +2/+0 until end of turn. And it's also got an adventure, Bubble Up. 2 and a blue, put target instant or sorcery card from your graveyard on top of your library.
Yeah, I'm going to preemptively concede.
Ooh, I love it. So you gave it a D+. I gave it a Synergy C. I think you could maybe even go Synergy C+.
That's what I was thinking.
A good card.
I just got tripped up by not really liking this adventure, but that's fine because in my opener, I don't need to care about that. And then later on, it's the payoff plus enabler aspect of the Izzet deck. And also just like a fine speed bump in other decks. Yeah, this is just good. Next up, I mean, Ben, when are you gonna get over these kinds of effects? This is freeze in place. 1 and a blue for a sorcery. Tap target creature and opponent controls and put 3 stun counters on it. Scry 2. I don't know what to tell you, but I gave this a Synergy C-. You gave this a Synergy C+. So like we're basically, the synergy we're talking about is like basically just in blue-white. Because outside of that, this card is terrible, but when you care about tapping stuff, maybe it gets better. Like you gotta relax on these spells.
I got my first. Let me ask you this. We're gonna hit him with it.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Were you not the person last week who was arguing on behalf of the White Saga that 2 turns being gone was such a long time, longer than you think? This is 3.
Yeah, but
turns, 3 stun counters. Don't you scry 2?
Don't you remember the last time we saw this effect? It did the exact same thing. Tap a thing, keep it tapped for 3 turns. And it was, we had the same conversation.
This
scries
2 also.
Oh my God. Can you believe it?
I mean, you're right. I'm going to like this card and never draft it. Yeah.
Next up, we've got Spell Stutter, the counter spell. 1 and a blue for an instant. Counter target spell unless its controller pays 2, plus an additional 1 for each fairy you control. Well, that's one of the things I didn't check out. Whatever. Y'all can find how many fairies there are in blue and black. That's the blue-black theme.
It's a lot at uncommon, that's for sure.
I gave this a Synergy C-. You gave this just a straight-up C+.
Straight-up C+. I did not initially grade it that highly, and I was stretching for blue commons that I liked. And I ended up putting this in my top commons, so I bumped the grade up on it. I hope this is that good. I don't know that it necessarily will be. I do think it'll be that good in a fairies deck in blue black.
Yes. Yeah.
For sure. I think just as a general blue card, that remains to be seen. But there are a lot of expensive things people are potentially going to be stepping out for. So
are there? I guess adventures. Yeah. I guess adventures are expensive.
Adventures
and
like
you see them
if
coming.
Countering an adventure. Yeah, right. That's the thing. Like you can plan ahead for the bigger parts of adventures. And if you do nab an adventure, you're kind of 2 for 1 in your opponent because a lot of the adventure card, like on the instant or sorcery side.
Right.
So I could see this doing some stuff.
I don't know. That feels like calling countering divination a 2 for 1.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay. What's next?
Next, we've got Mocking Sprite. Am I higher than you on every single one of these cards?
I think so, yeah.
It says 2 and a blue for a 2/1 fairy rogue with flying. Instant and sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. You give us a D+. I give us a Synergy C. I think this is going to be a thing in the blue control decks.
Yeah. Whoa. Blue control decks?
Yeah, like fairies or blue red spells. Like it's going to be a thing.
I don't know if either of those decks are controlling as far as I can tell, but like this being a 2/1 is the huge knock against it for me.
Yeah, you sold me. All right, I'm kind of off this.
Yeah, it's just too small.
Very fragile.
Takes us on to, speaking of X1s being fragile, takes us on to the uncommons. We got Frolicking Familiar, 2 and a blue for a 2/2 flyer. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn. And it's got Blow Off Steam. That's a single red instant adventure. Deal 1 damage to any target. I gave this a B. You gave this a C+. Hey, I'm higher on a card. Finally. This card is excellent. Like, picks off X1s, like, is a thing that is a payoff for you playing instants and sorceries, plus is an instant itself. What's not to like?
Yeah, card's good. It's probably a B- pull in the blue-red. Just the 2 and a blue 2/2 flyer prowess is not that strong of a card.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, really?
I don't think that's true. I mean, it's hard for me to feel like you don't think this is strong in your blue-red spells deck.
No, it's going to be good in your blue-red spells deck. Yeah, it's at least a B-. I'll come up to B-.
What's going on with your dislike of this next card?
I hate this card. This is Ice Rot Sentry. 2 and a blue for a 2/3 with vigilance. Whenever it attacks, you can pay 1 and a blue. Whenever you do, tap target creature and opponent controls. Whenever you tap an untapped creature and opponent controls, Ice Rot Sentry gets +2/+1 until end of turn.
Okay, I give it a B, you gave it a C. Can you tell me why you hate this card?
It looks clunky as all get out to me. Like, it's hard for me to imagine wanting to spend 2 mana to tap something down. Tavis attack as a 4/4. I mean, like, late in the game, it's probably going to be outclassed as a 4/4. And like, as you're developing, I don't think you're going to want to use this ability.
I mean, I think there's some threat of activation stuff you're not really
putting... There's no threat of activation because you have to do it as it attacks.
Right, but the threat of activation I'm referring to is that your opponent sees this on the battlefield and they have to go, oh, can I actually attack with one and only leave back one blocker? Which means what they could do is dump mana into this, and then that enables an attack with this and your 2-drop or whatever and something else. So like, you have to anticipate this being activated. Also, like, sure, you don't have to do it the next turn, but you could. Like, let's say you go 2-drop this, turn 4, you activate this, get in with for 6, right? Your 2-drop and this, and then play another 2-drop. Plus the synergy with blue caring about tapping stuff that isn't tapped. Plus this has vigilance, so it can still block the next turn. I don't understand how this could be clunky.
You're probably right. I think it's just going to take me seeing it on the battlefield, and then I'll probably get it. I would say you're probably right. The card is not appealing to me. That's the only defense I have, which is not a good defense. Okay. Everything you're saying checks out mentally.
All right, that's a win for me. That takes us on to black. More X1s. There's Mintstrosity. I also hate this name. 1 and a black for a 3/1.
It's a little cringe, as the kids say.
When it dies, create a food token. You gave this a C. I gave it a D+.
Yeah, I think this is a similar conversation. I'm gonna go your way.
There's rectangles happening here.
Yeah, like the food thing, kind of. And this has to be dealt with. I don't know. Actually, I'm going to stay strong. I think this is maybe a synergy C in the food deck. That's the place where you're wanting to play this.
Yeah, it's just so tough. It's so tough for me to get behind these X1s. Maybe they all can't be bad. I don't know, but that's where I'm at right now.
All right, we've got Wicked Visitor next. This is 1 and a black for a 2/2 nightmare. Whenever an enchantment you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, each opponent loses 1 life. You give us a synergy C. I give us a D.
Yeah, I'm wrong. I just like this. I just want this to be good. I just like saw this, and I know we're both excited about the Warehouse Tabby too. Like, that's the one that has the same text, but it makes a rat token instead of
which just, is way better than this, and it costs 1 mana instead of 2.
I know.
But you don't have room for all of them because then you have no enchantments.
I know. That's why I said I'm wrong. I just want it to be good.
Okay. Next, we've got Fel Horseman. This is 3 and a black for a 3/3. Whenever it dies, put it on the bottom of its owner's library. And the sorcery is an adventure. Deathly Ride, 1 and a black, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. You give us a C-, I give us a D.
Yeah, well, I'm not used to having the higher grades here. Like my grade sort of shows, I just thought this was slightly above full-on replaceable. Because it is like 2 pieces of cardboard. But they're both overcosted pieces of cardboard,
like way overcosted. Plus, yeah, it's got like, what are you doing? Are you holding this to like try to cast Deathly Ride? Like, because there's not going to be a creature in your graveyard early, and then by the time you get the 3/3, do you really care about having a 4-mana 3/3? This card just seems like something you're never interested in to me.
I agree. I'm going D.
Next, we've got Stingblade Assassin. This is 3 and a black for a Fairy Assassin. It's a 3/1 flash flying. When it enters the battlefield, destroy target creature and opponent controls that was dealt damage this turn. You give us a D+. I gave us a C.
Yeah, this is another, highly costed 4 mana for a 1 toughness creature. And again, it has evasion, so it deals with some other stuff. It's in a color with rat tokens, right? So you can, chump attack with a rat, it gets blocked, pick it off. You sort of have to think about this. I'm kind of talking myself into it right now. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I like it with rat tokens. I also like it with the fairy deck. I like it with holding up counter magic, quick study, like the instant speed card draw. Like, I think this card's going to be kind of hard to play against out of the fairy deck. And I think if you stick it, like, your opponent's going to need one of those ways to deal with X1s to not be in a really bad spot. I think this card's got fairly significant upside compared to most versions of this card we usually see.
All right, I'll come up to C minus. Next up, we've got Scream Puff, another, like, just these, yikes, 4 and a black for a 4/5 horror with death touch. When it deals combat damage to a player, you create a food token. I gave this a C, you gave this a D+. I just think this is keyword large. This is just big.
Yeah, but you can chump it into oblivion. I mean, I guess in black, what? Green, if you're getting a monster roll token on it, then, like, I'm kind of in for it.
What are you chumping with? Where's this infinite stream of creatures coming from?
I don't know. You're going to have board presence. This card's
it's
large.
It's really hard to deal with in combat. Like,
yeah, I can get tapped down by blue and white stuff.
You can tap it down for 3 turns.
I feel like this is a similar thing with the Charmed Clothier, in that it's just hard for me to imagine, like, caring about this, which is why I gave it a D. Like, I just can't imagine ending the draft and being like, you know what this deck needs?
Yeah.
It really needs Scream Puff.
You can't use my argument against me. That's brutal. That's totally brutal.
Learn from the master.
Hey, all right. I'll go to C minus. I'll go to C minus.
All right. Next up, we gaslit him, folks.
This is brutal. Like, he hooked and cut me last week. How did this happen?
Next up, we've got Eo Drain. Single black for sorcery. Target opponent reveals their hand. You choose a non-land card from it. That player discards that card. If you don't control a fairy, exile a card from your hand. You give us a Synergy C+, Synergy D+. Talk me up on this card, please.
Well, I was listening to a friend of mine last week, and I didn't like it, but he was like, but in the fairies deck, this will be really good, right? You get to, like, whatever, play a thing and then nab their whatever, you know, for cheap.
Yeah, that sounds like a smart guy.
So what happened to him?
I mean, that's D+ for me. Like, only belongs in one specific deck, I think, is D territory for me. But maybe, no, but I think we're saying the same thing with different grades.
But that's what the synergy grade gives you. The synergy grade lets you say, what's the grade where it's got synergy?
Yeah, but, like, yes, I agree. But I also, similar to Scream Puff, can't imagine feeling like, I really needed an Eo Drain for this fairies deck to, like...
That's a good argument.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, maybe C, maybe it's D+, maybe it's C-. minus. I don't know. I think it is going to be a playable card in a fairies deck, whatever grade that is. And I think that's probably where you're at, too.
Yeah, that's true. All right, take us on to red. We're getting down to less disagreements here. First up is Gnawing Crescendo.
It's because all of red's cards are incredible.
They're quite good, yeah. 2 and a red for an instant. Creatures you control get +2/+0 until end of turn. Whenever a non-token creature you control dies this turn, you get a 1/1 rat token. I gave this a D+. You gave this a Diminishing Returns C+.
Yeah, I think the first copy of this in a rat deck, red-black, is going to be quite strong. And I also think red-white, too, is maybe looking to go wide. Like, I can see this being a finisher in a couple different decks.
Interesting. So maybe a Synergy C+.
Maybe a Synergy Diminishing Returns C+. But I could see...
That just seems like too many qualifiers, and I just want to call it a D+.
Well, maybe, but I think what I'm trying to say with my grade, and whether or not you agree with this, is what I'd be curious about. I think this card will be important to a couple subsets of decks.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think I buy that. I'm going to stick at D+.
Love it.
I just don't like this card. But I agree with what you're saying.
All right, next up we have Imidane's Recruiter. This is 2 and a red for a 2/2. When ETBs, creatures you control get +1/+0 and gain haste until end of turn. And it's got an Adventurer. Train the troops, 4 and a white, make 2/2/2 white knight creature tokens with vigilance. You give us a C+, I give us a B. This card is incredible.
Yeah, this card's really good. What I was trying to do, it's funny because I like didn't grade the blue-red one or the blue one with the red adventure this way, but I did this one. I was like trying to grade it just as a red card and not thinking about it as red-white. I mean, as a red-white card, it's obviously a B, and that's how I should be grading it.
Well, and... it's also, even if you just cast the front side, a 3-mana 3/2 haste, which is not the worst, that gives your other creature, like, you're still going, like, you can still go 1-drop, 2-drop this, or, like, 2-drop this, and those other creatures are getting the bonus. I just think this card's excellent.
I agree. And I think you're right about this next one. I don't know what I was thinking. Next up, we've got Witchstalker Frenzy. 3 and a red for an instant. Deal 5 damage to target creature. It costs one less to cast for each creature that attacked this turn. I'm already preemptively conceding, but we should still talk about it. You gave this a B+. I gave this a C+. I think the mistake I made was I was only thinking about this as I'm attacking.
Right, but it also works for your opponent's creatures. Right. It works either way. Yeah. So it's very likely that at a minimum it's going to cost 3.
Correct.
Either way, and also likely that it's going to get down to 2 or 1.
Yes.
And when you're attacking, you have control over that. Like, it's in the color with the rat tokens. Like, red looks aggressive, and you're going to be able to, like, swing with 3 things, do this for 1 red mana, play another threat. Like, this card looks crazy powerful to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going B+.
All right, that takes us on to green commons. First up here, I want to hear your defense of this card. This is Bestial Bloodline, 1 and a green for an aura. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2, and you can pay 4 and a green to return this from your graveyard to your hand. And the word loops better not come out of your mouth.
Okay. You're going to have to give me a minute then. No, but I've got a comparison that you're also not going to like.
Rancor is also not allowed to come out of your mouth.
Durable Coil Bug from Ikoria.
My curiosity's peaked. Go on, sir.
1 and a black for a 2/2, had the same cost of 5 mana, return it from your graveyard to your hand. Now, that was a set where, like, sacrificing creatures and bringing that back, like, that was relevant, right? So, like, sometimes Coil Bug was just a 2/2, but then, like, if the game went long enough, you got it back. It was just like, man, that's coming back. And then you're going to get to do the thing. This is in a color that cares about auras. There's bargain running around, and you just get to sack this for value. And also 2 mana for +2/+2. And this, like, has all of the, like, I don't know. There's not the usual aura downside with this, because, like, you just get it back. I just think this is kind of going to do a thing, bud.
This looks really bad to me. I'm not sold, because Coil Bug was a 2/2. Like, it could block, chump, loop, and chump. Like, I just can't imagine wanting to spin my wheels this hard for bargain. There's just better, more efficient ways to bargain. And then if you're not bargaining, like, being excited about the fact that you get to pay 5 and then 2 to re-equip this aura late in the game, it's hard for me to imagine that being a Magic card.
I'm not obsessed with this. I said Synergy C, but I do think, like, as your argument of, I do think, like, I really think I'm going to have decks where I go, dang, I do wish I had a Bestial Bloodline. I wish I had that little, like, ooh, there's the mana sink. There's this thing that I get to do. Yeah, I think it's just going to do stuff.
I can't co-sign that one. I'm sorry.
I don't need you to. More for me. Next, we've got Verdant Outrider, Ben's favorite stat line. 3 mana, 4/2. 2 and a green for a 4/2. 1 and a green. Verdant Outrider can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less this turn. I gave this a D+. You gave this a Synergy C. This is just you being more excited about Gruul than me.
Yes, that's the grading difference. Yeah. But I am excited about Gruul, and not even necessarily the 4-powered part. Although, I mean, I like this as a 4-powered creature, but also, like, with the fight spells that are running around, I think there's good combat tricks to use in tandem with these, like, where your opponents are going to try to block trade, you blow them out, push 2 or 3 damage. I am excited about red-green.
Okay. All right. That takes us on to the artifacts. You got some.
Oh, my God. So much highlighting here.
I know. Can you believe it? First up, we've got Ginger Brute. You got some explaining to do. He's back. 1 mana for a 1/1 with haste. You can pay 1. Can't be blocked this turn except by creatures with haste. Pay 2. Tap. Sack it. You gain 3 life.
Yeah, you're just going to put your Bestial Brutality on your Ginger Brute and go to town?
Oh, my God. I hadn't even thought about that. Yes, I am. I gave this a C. You gave this a D. Basically, so here's my argument. We all, I think, completely underrated this card in Eldraine the first time around. We were like, oh, this is cute. Like, run fast as you can. You can't catch me. This card stinks in Limited. But then it was like, well, it's a food. Oh, well, it's an artifact, and there was artifact and enchantment matter stuff in Eldraine. Oh, well, it's a non-human for the non-human matters attacking Gruul deck. Well, there's auras to slap on this, or there's artifacts to their equipment to put on this. Like, I'm sure there's just stuff I'm missing. I mean, roll tokens alone. Turn this into a 2/2 unblockable for free. Like, and then there's also, like, cheap stuff that makes roll tokens. So, like, you really want to have a body in play already to dump that on. I think Ginger Brute's good.
All right, you sold me with roll tokens. I hadn't thought about that, because what I was getting ready to throw back in your face was that it was different contexts. Like, all those things you're rattling off aren't things that are supported here in Wilds of Eldraine.
No, my point is that we missed all of those, so I'm just giving it
C. You're just assuming we're idiots this time around, too?
Why wouldn't we be?
When I graded this, I put some thought into, well, this is a lot different context. There's not, like, an artifacts and enchantments matter theme. But you've sold me on the roll tokens. That alone, I think, is good enough for this card to be a C.
Great.
Next up, we've got Ariat's Tempting Apple. Is this our biggest grade difference?
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what... I must be missing something. Oh, I know what I'm missing. Okay.
All right, so this is 4 mana for a legendary artifact food. When it enters the battlefield, you gain control of target creature until end of turn. Untap that creature, it gains haste until end of turn. You can pay 2, sacrifice this to gain 3 life. And you can also pay 2, tap, sacrifice it to have target opponent lose 3 life. You give us a D+, I give us a B-.
What am I missing?
Bargain?
Yeah, but bargain doesn't say sacrifice a creature.
It doesn't?
Are you kidding me?
Is that not one of the things?
No, it's token, artifact, or enchantment.
Oh, well, I'm a little lower on it then. What did you think you were missing?
That's what I thought when I was reading. I was like, bargain, but then I was like, wait a minute, no, that's not it. So what am I missing?
I don't know.
This card stinks.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I'm a little high.
Great. Bonus sheet time, baby. Speaking of bargain, now you can use the bargain argument on all these because they're all enchantments. So the first one I want to shout out, I don't have a grading difference, but my initial reaction was a grading difference. And then I remembered something, so I want to just talk about it. It's Griffin Airy, 1W for an enchantment. At the beginning of your end step, if you gained 3 or more life this turn, create a 2/2 white Griffin creature token with flying. This card was quite poor the first time we saw it. It was really hard to gain 3 life. There was like even a black-white life gain matters thing. Well, food really solves that problem in a nice, round, even number, right?
3.
Yeah, so I think Griffin Airy is a really sweet build around. Next up, all right, I want to talk about 2 cards in conversation a little bit. So Curiosity is first. This is the single blue enchantment. When enchanted creature deals damage to an opponent, you may draw a card. And then there's Dragon Mantle as well, which we don't really have a grading difference on. But this is the single red aura. It gives a creature fire breathing. You can pay a red to give it plus and plus 0 until end of turn. But Dragon Mantle draws a card when it enters the battlefield.
Yes.
You gave Curiosity a B- and Dragon Mantle a C.
Yeah.
I gave Dragon Mantle a C+, and I gave Curiosity a C-.
I don't understand why. Curiosity is a much better card than Dragon Mantle.
Well, Dragon Mantle has a much higher floor than Curiosity.
Yes.
Right?
The optimist, right? I'm going to get in with my Curiosity creature like 4 times. I'm going to slap that baby on a ginger brute.
Okay. Well, I don't want to bring you down. So I guess I'll just let you have your B-. B- just seems absurdly high to me for this card. You have to connect twice
to get an advantage, but you wait to play it until you're sure you're going to connect the first time.
What if you can't? And then it's just dead in your hand.
Yeah, then you're disappointed.
Yeah, this card cannot be a B-. This card is not that good.
C+, then, maybe? I mean, Curiosity is a powerful Magic the Gathering card. The ceiling on it is quite high. The ceiling on it is run away with the game for 1 mana.
It doesn't add any stats. Like, I don't understand how what you're thinking about this card. Target creature that has good attacks already.
A creature dealing 2 versus a creature dealing 2 and drawing a card are 2 very different things.
Right, but the scenario where this is good is a scenario that's already good for you. You know what I'm saying?
I do, yeah. I thought you liked Curiosity a lot as a card.
No.
You don't think this is going to be excellent in the blue-white tap your opponent's things down aggressive deck?
This just seems like the definition of win more to me.
There's something about like quadrant theory,
how
though.
How you
like,
can
evaluating...
like Curiosity and not Ice Rot Sentry is blowing my mind right now.
Sure, Ice Rot Sentry. I will concede that Ice Rot Sentry is a better Magic the Gathering card than Curiosity. So there's a little bit of a break in my grading of the linearness of this,
yeah.
Across
some dissonance here.
Yes. My grades are not resonating well with each other, but I do think Curiosity will be a good card in the blue-white aggressive deck for sure. And I also like it just in blue aggressive in fairies. Like, there's so many cheap flyers to put this on.
I don't think this is a good card.
I do. I maybe not B-, but certainly C+. Like, there are going to be blue decks that are interested in this card.
I'm sort of down on spreading Cs too, but at least this replaces itself. Like,
It's banned in historic or something, right?
Yeah, pre-banned. It has to be pre-banned. It has to be good. All right, we don't need to talk about spreading seas. Maybe a similar argument, but B minus just seems incredibly high for spreading seas.
Can I make a confession?
Spreading seas a B minus and Dragon Mantle a C when all you care about is cantripping aura?
Can I make a confession?
Did you read any of these? What's the confession?
I did. I'm realizing that I was wrong on a lot of these. My confession is that Spreading Seas got a B minus for me because it was banned in historic. That literally influenced my grade. You're going to like turn to mess up your opponent's mana. I don't know. That's where I was assuming how you would play it. You would play it on your opponent's thing.
Yeah, sure.
And hope to like two mana Stone Rain or whatever.
I guess.
But it's probably not a B minus. It's maybe a C. And then you can bargain it away later, like after they've gotten out of their mana hose.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was where my mind was at. B minus is probably aggressive.
A little aggressive. I guess, yeah. I guess I wasn't thinking about the oops, I cheesed out a win factor that this card has. So maybe it's better than a C minus.
All right. Next up, we've got the Dark Tutelage. This is 2 and a black for an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. You lose life equal to its mana value. You give us a D. I give us a build around C plus.
I'm going to be honest with you. This is an F.
Wow.
Is this better or worse than Phyrexian Arena?
Way worse.
And Phyrexian Arena is not good in limited. It's not.
Sure.
This is an F.
I concede.
Okay. Stab Wound is back. All the way from returning from Ravnica, 2 and a black for an aura enchanted creature gets -2/-2. And at the beginning of the upkeep of enchanted creature's controller, that player loses 2 life. I gave this a B, you gave this a C plus. You think a decade later this card no good anymore?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, not that it's a B, like it's a C plus or a B minus. I don't think it's a B. I could certainly see B minus, but I do think it's a little less good, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so the cool thing about Stab Wound, if you haven't played with it before, so obviously like overcosted for a dead weight effect, but like getting to put this on like a 1/3 or a 2/4, 2/3 type deal and just have it like taken out, and also then this is like kind of a win condition for you. Like, I guess, well, no, I was like about to say bargain again, but you just can't sacrifice creatures to bargain. So I don't know. I'm optimistic that Stab Wound will still do all the things that it once did.
I do think I knocked Stab Wound down for bargain. So maybe we'll bump it up to B minus. I'm a little ashamed about my bonus sheet grading here.
You shouldn't be about this last one here. This is Raid Bombardment.
Gas, yeah.
This is pretty cool. 2 and a red for an enchantment. Whenever a creature you control with power 2 or less attacks, Raid Bombardment deals 1 damage to the player or planeswalker that creature is attacking. Give us a build around B. I gave it a build around C plus, but mostly just because I wanted to talk about this. Like, it's pretty cool. Like, this was not good in, I think it was Ravnica Allegiance was its original printing.
There was a niche deck there for it.
It was hard to get it to come together. I think it's going to be real here. Creatures are small.
Well, and rats, baby. Card's going to be nuts in red, black.
All right. The gloves are off. Or the gloves are back on. We were fighting with the gloves off. Now they're on. Let's get to our top commons.
All right, let's hop on in there with the white commons. Up first, my number one, Hopeful Vigil, and I assume you have the same. This card is ridiculous. 1 and a white for an enchantment. When it ETBs, you make a 2/2 white knight creature token with vigilance, and whenever this enchantment's put into a graveyard from the battlefield, you scry 2, and you can pay 2 and a white to sack it. Card is like one of the only good white commons, I think. Or maybe the only good white common.
It was a clear number one, and the rest was a little fuzzy for me.
Number two, I've got Moment of Valor. That's the 2 and a white instant, where it's this combat trick or destroy target creature power 4 or greater. I really like that card. I'm willing to be wrong on it, but for right now, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is.
Sounds good.
And then in number three, I've got Stockpiling Celebrant. This is 2 and a white for a 3/2. When it ETBs, you may return another non-land permanent you control to its owner's hand. If you do, scry 2. I think that card's very synergistic, especially in white-black. I really like it.
So you're picking up, obviously, the Hopeful Vigil and the Hopeless whatever, the single black
discard.
Yeah,
the single black thing, yeah.
What else is there?
You're shutting down your opponent's aura removal randomly. Like, you're picking up a saga that's on chapter 2, maybe, rebuying it. I just think there's a fair amount going on with the card that is upside on an otherwise, like, playable body-ish.
Yeah, that's fair. fair. Okay, I'm curious to see how that goes. I do have Hopeful Vigil as my number one. My number two is the Pacifism variant, cooped up, one in a white for an aura, enchanted creature can't attack or block, and you can pay two in a white to exile enchanted creature.
That should be in mine, probably. I forgot about bargain, not creatures.
And my number three is Savior of the Sleeping. There was some chat about this in the Discord today. Two and a white for a 2/3 human knight with vigilance. Whenever an enchantment you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on Savior of the Sleeping. I got my eyes on this. 3-mana, 2/3 vigilant stat line is like fine. And I for me, it really only takes one counter for this to be good. And that doesn't seem hard. And then like any more than that, and you're like, I have to deal with this, but I don't know how. So I'm hopeful about the Savior.
Yeah, I was torn between that and the Celebrant and went with the Celebrant, but I could certainly see the Savior popping off.
Yeah. Moving on to the uncommons, I've got a couple of adventures. Woodland Acolyte is my number one. Two and a white for a 2/2. When it enters the battlefield, draw a card. Beautiful. And the adventure is Mend the Wilds. Single green for an instant. Put target permanent card from your graveyard on top of your library. And then my number two is Shrouded Shepherd. That's the 2-mana 2/2. When ETB's target creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn. And the adventure is Cleave Shadows. One and a black. Sorcery. Creatures your opponents control get -1/-1 until end of turn.
Yeah, largely that whole cycle of off-color kicker cards are just excellent for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I've got those same two as my top two in the reverse order. I've got Shepherd 1, Acolyte 2.
Sick. That takes us on to blue. Blue's commons were tough for me to figure out. I don't know if they were clear for you.
Unlike red, they are largely unimpressive, I think.
Right. That's what I felt too. I was like, man, well, that's okay. Blue's had its time to shine in many limited sets. And if it falls flat a little bit here, that's okay. My number one is Obira's Attendance. 4 and a blue for a 3/4 flyer. And it's got an adventure, Desperate Parry. 1 and a blue for an instant. Target creature gets -4/-0 until end of turn. Number two, I have Vantress Transmuter. This is 3 and a blue for a 3/4. And the adventure part here is Croaking Curse. It's 1 and a blue. Tap target creature. Create a cursed roll token attached to it. Makes it a 1/1. And then a little bit of a maybe for my number three. I should probably have the counterspell in there, but I have Snaremaster Sprite. Single blue for a 1/1 fairy wizard with flying. When it enters the battlefield, you can pay two. And if you do, you tap target creature and opponent controls and put a stun counter on it.
You know what goes well with that?
What?
Curiosity, baby.
Oh, that's so sick. Can I make curiosity an A-?
My blue commons, top two are the same, but in a different order. So I have the Transmuter 1. That's okay. The thing that puts a cursed roll token on something.
Yeah.
And then I have Attendance 2 with the trick that gives -4/-0. And my number three is Spell Stutter. The 1 and a blue instant counter target spell unless its controller pays 2, plus an additional 1 for each fairy you control.
Yeah, I probably should add that. The thing about Snaremaster Sprite, so I didn't like Sprite at all. Again, knocking X1s. But then I thought about the modality of it being like, well, like, if this is your opener, you just, again, drop this on turn 1, sort of like the Gingerbread argument, and then any roll token on this makes it a real threat. That's not that hard. And then later on, like, it's nice that your one drop that you top deck gets to affect the board, pay a little bit more mana for it. I think I could see the sprite being good.
That's fair. All right, moving on to the blue uncommons. In the number one slot, I've got Threadbind Click. That's the 3 and a blue, 3/3 flyer. And the adventure is Rip the Seams, 2 and a white, instant destroy target tapped creature. And in my number two slot, I've got Picklock Prankster, 1 and a blue for a 1/3 fairy flying vigilance. And the adventure is Free the Fae. It's an instant for 1 and a blue. You mill 4 and then put an instant sorcery or fairy card from among the mill cards into your hand.
Yeah, I love the Prankster. That was my number one blue uncommon. And my number two is your favorite card, Ice Rot Sentry.
I'm wrong about that card. I'm going to hear about it for the next 2 months.
What do you got going on in black?
Black. The number one slot, I've got Candy Grapple. 1 and a black instant. Target creature gets -3/-3. If you bargain it, it gets -5/-5 instead. That card is a house. Number two, I've got Hopeless Nightmare. Black for an enchantment. When it ETBs, each opponent discards a card, loses 2 life. And when it goes to the graveyard, you scry 2, and you can pay 3 to sacrifice it. And then again, putting my money where my mouth is. I don't know if I really feel super strongly about this anymore after seeing black, because black's got a lot of good commons. But I've got Warehouse Tabby in the number three slot.
Nice.
Black for the 1/1. Whenever an enchantment you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, you make a rat. and you can pay one and a black to give it death touch until end of turn.
I like it. I'm happy that you have it in your number three slot. I appreciate it. I have the same one and two, and then my number three is Voracious Vermin. This is two and a black for a 2/1. When it ETBs, you get a 1/1 black rat creature token. And whenever another creature you control dies, you get a +1/+1 counter on Voracious Vermin. And I don't even think, like, I just wanted this card in my top three because I like it a lot. I think I could have found two or three other black commons that I would have been thrilled to put in my top three.
Yeah, black is pretty deep. Moving on to the uncommons, the number one slot. I've got High Fae Negotiator, Siege Fairy here. It says 3BB for a 3/5 with flying. And when it ETBs, if it was bargained, each opponent loses 3 life and you gain 3 life.
Siege Fairy. That's nice. Okay.
And in the number two slot, I've got Twisted Sewer Witch. This card's going to end games. 3BB for a 3/4. Yeah. ETBs, make a 1/1 rat creature token with this creature can't block. And then for each rat you control, create a Wicked Roll token attached to that rat.
Wow. We don't have any overlap in our top black uncommons, but I think that just largely speaks to how
black
strong
broken? Yeah.
Black is. I've got Lord Skitterer's Butcher as my number one. That's 2BB for a 2/3. When ETBs, you choose one, you make a rat creature token. You can sack another creature. If you do, you scry two, then draw a card. Or creatures you control gain menace until end of turn. And my number two is Spellscorn Coven. 3BB for a 2/3 flyer. When it ETBs, each opponent discards a card. And there's an adventure, Take It Back. 2BB, return target spell to its owner's hand.
Yeah, that card is excellent.
But like, that's just so many good black cards.
So many good black cards. Moving on to the red commons. This is where I did some shaking up. In the number one slot, I've got Ratcatcher Trainee. Woo. This is one in a red for a 2/1. As long as it's your turn, it has first strike. And it's got an adventure, Pest Problem. At instant speed, you can pay 2 red to make 2 1/1 rat tokens.
Yeah, that card's awesome.
In the number two slot, I've got Torch the Tower, the single red instant, deal 2/3 if you bargained, and then it exiles something that went to the graveyard that it dealt damage to. And in the number three slot, again, putting my money where my mouth is, Unruly Catapult, yeah. 2 red for the 0/4 with Defender. Tap steal damage to opponent, and whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, untap Unruly Catapult. And I don't know if Unruly Catapult belongs there, but I wanted to shout it out because I didn't know we were necessarily going to talk about it in the episode. And I just want to throw out there that Red's commons are just insanely deep and insanely powerful. I would be shocked if Red were not the top color in the format.
Over Black?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Red does not seem stronger than Black to me currently, but... Does seem like Rakdos. I have black and red as 1 and 2. And much like 1 and 2, mine are the same as yours, but swapped. I've got Torch the Tower, the burn spell, as number one. Ratcatcher Trainee as my number two. And I think basically my only hot-ish take of my top commons, Witch's Mark is my number three. 1 and a red for a sorcery. You may discard a card. If you do, draw 2 cards. And you create a Wicked Roll token attached to up to 1 target creature you control. And that's the +1/+1. And when it's put into a graveyard, each opponent loses a life.
Yeah, that card is excellent. I was going to put that in my top commons, and I peeked over at yours and saw that you had it, and I wanted to do something different. Yeah. That card's truly great.
I mean, maybe we've had enough good Tormenting Voice variants recently, like Bitter Reunion from Brothers War.
And this is even better than Bitter Reunion, I think.
Right. Well, and it's Quarrel's End, but it's 2 mana, not 3. Like,
Yeah. There's no mana bump for what you're getting, which is awesome.
Right. So, like, I just think maybe people will catch on, but if they don't, this card is going to, like, be really nice to pick up in the first few weeks. Takes us on to Red's Uncommons. First up, we've got Monstrous Rage. Single red for an instant. Target creature gets +2/+0 until end of turn, and you create a monster roll token attached to it. That's the one that gives trample.
That's your number one?
That's my number one. Is that allowed?
Oof.
Is that not allowed?
It's allowed. It's your list. It's
I know. List. So this was back when I gave the deal 5 a C+. Like, so I'm not like you. I don't cheat. I don't change my grades. Well,
and you have cohesion across your grading. You honor the grades that you give to cards. It's good of you.
I understand them.
I just throw out some B's here, some C's here, and we see where everything lands.
I will say, like, if you don't do all of your grading in, like, one sitting, that's easy to happen. You're just grumpy the next day. Everything.
Grumpy one time, yeah, for sure.
And my number two uncommon is Two-Headed Hunter. This is 4 red for a 5/4 with menace, and it's got an adventure, Twice the Rage, 1 red instant, target creature gains double strike until end of turn. I think this card is excellent.
Oh, not excited about that one either. Don't love your top two red uncommons, but again, Your list.
I guess you're going to get savaged enough for not knowing how bargain works. So yes, you got to get your punches in while you can.
That's right. That's right. Number one, I've got Witch Stalker Frenzy, the 3-red instant, deal 5 to a creature, cost 1 less to cast for each creature that attacked this turn. And then in the number 2 slot, I've got Imidane's Recruiter, the red-white hybrid adventure that gets a 2-2 and then gives your team +1/+0 in haste. I just love that in red-black as a card. Plus, in red-white, it's also going to be excellent.
All right. Greens Commons, number one. It's just Hunt the Weak, but a mana cheaper. Curse of the Werefox, 2 and a green for a sorcery. Create a monster roll token attached to target creature you control. When you do, that creature fights up to 1 target creature you don't control.
It's way better, Hunt the Weak, for 1 mana cheaper. Way better.
It's not purely upside, because like you can't stack the roll tokens, right? So if your 2-2 has a roll token on it, it's still just a 3-3, but like...
it gives trample to green creatures. I mean, like, it's real good.
It's very good. Number 2, Hamlet Glutton. 5 green-green for a 6-6 with trample. When it enters the battlefield, you gain 3 life, but it has bargain, and if you bargained it, it costs 2 less to cast. Card is large. I think this is like, that's just all I want to do with my green decks. And I am shouting out the Food Maker, the Argothian Opportunist, Hollow Scavenger, 2 to green, 3-2. Pay 1, sack of food. Hollow Scavenger gets +2/+2 until end of turn. Only activate it once. And it's got the Adventure, Bakery Raid, single green, make a food.
I've got the same 1 and 2 as you. My number 3 is Ferocious Werefox. This is 3 green for a 4-3 trample. And the adventure is an instant guard change, 1 and a green, create a monster roll token attached to target creature you control. I didn't realize this was an instant at first. And then when I saw it was an instant, I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's
combat
good.
Combat trick, if you win the combat, it sticks around. Put trample on large green monsters. But I think even more than what you put in the number 3 slot, like I don't feel strongly about what goes there. I was thinking about switching this to the 1-3 mana dork that gives you a green and then filters mana through it. But I've seen some takes that green doesn't look good, and green looks quite strong to me. I think currently going into the format, I'd have green number 3 in the color power rankings.
Largely off the back of, I think, how good Hamlet Glutton looks to me, like that just looks like a game plan. Like you get a couple gluttons and that's your deck, you know, because that's just like 6/6 gain 3 is so big.
Yeah, the card looks strong for sure.
Looking at the uncommons, I got Tough Cookie as my number 1. 1 and a green for a 2-2. When it enters the battlefield, you get a food token. You can treat it. It is a food itself, so you can sack it to gain 3. And you can also pay 2 and a green to have target non-creature artifact you control become a 4/4. Artifact creature until end of turn. And then I also have Welcome to Sweet Tooth as my number 2. It's the 1 and a green saga. Chapter 1, you get a 1/1 human. Chapter 2, you get a food. Chapter 3, you put X +1/+1 counters on target creature you control, where X is 1 plus the number of foods you control.
Yeah, both those are quite strong. I've got a different number 1 than you. I've got Gingerbread Hunter. That's the 5 mana 5/5 that ETBs with a food. And then you can have Puny Snack for 2 and a black to give target creature -2/-2 until end of turn. And I've got Tough Cookie in the number 2 slot.
Yeah, a nice spread there. Some overlap, but also some takes. That's
room
what
for
you
Twitch
see.
Chat to make fun of us, you know?
Yeah, perfect. Can't wait. Yeah, some nice fodder for like, hey, can you believe you ever had that in your top 3? Whatever, yeah. Crash Course, it takes you out of you. I do feel a bit crashed afterwards.
It is quite a lot. Any parting thoughts here? Any takes about the format?
You always ask me. You always serve it up to me at the end, like a good co-host does. But I leave it all on the field, Ben. I don't pull any punches, and I just bring everything to bear in the episode. I got nothing to sum up. I think I like your takes of it being. I'm with you on it being Jundy to start. Like I'm liking black, red, and green at the beginning. Less clear about blue and white personally, which is odd because I do like the looks of the blue white deck specifically, but I'm just excited.
I think fairies also look strong, but strong at uncommon. Like you're gonna have to be the only fairies drafter, I think, and you're gonna have to get all the uncommons. But if you do, like that deck is very clear, I think, what it is trying to do. So for me, the ones that are up in the air or the ones that I'm doubtful about are Celebration, Red White, Blue Green, 5, Mana Value. Those two for sure I am very unclear on.
Yeah.
I like Black Green as food, but not as much as some of the others. But I think Jund format for sure to start. Although, and White Blue looks, the uncommon is insane. Like its gold card is broken. But then like, again, a lot of the blue and white commons, I was like, I don't know. Like, it just didn't seem to hold up to how good raw rate and efficient the red, black, and green cards are. We didn't even talk about the red 4 mana 3/3 menace make a 1/1 rat.
I know,
like,
right?
There's like that might be a top red common. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Like that might be better than all of them.
Yeah, you know? That could just be. I mean, it's not quite Chimney Rabble, right? Because it doesn't have haste. But yeah, it's pretty dang good.
There's a lot going on in this format, but I am stoked, and we're gonna get to play with the cards next week during the early access.
That's right.
Thank you to Wizards for the sponsored preview account. So if you want to check us out, we'll be streaming on Thursday next week after you're listening to this episode.
Yeah, very, very excited to get my hands on these cards. So good luck to everybody in your pre-releases next week, and we'll have all of our takes after we get our hands on the cards as well.
All right, great place to wrap us up. Thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
Thanks so much to CoolStuffInc.com for sponsoring this podcast. If you're looking to buy anything Magic or other game related on the internet, head on over to CoolStuff and use code LOL at checkout to let them know we sent you there, and more importantly, to get 5% off anything you order on their website. And you can check all of our content out at lordsoflimited.com. That's where you can find links to our stream, our YouTube channel as well, which is popping off. You can see the video version of the episode high out there in YouTube land if you're watching right now. And you can also find links to our tier lists, to our merch, to all of our episode backlogs as well. All that good stuff is over at lordslimited.com.
If you got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later. Moving on to the Ds, those are the sometimes playable, below average, 22nd, 23rd type cards. Things like Eastmark Cavalier, Lothlorien Lookout, Gimli's Axe, and Greyhaven Navigator.
You have anything you want to say about that?
I don't. I was just, you saw the look on my face. Here was the look on my face. I was thinking while I was reading that I wanted to bet you that someone in the Lords of Limited Discord recent episode discussion is going to say, I'm actually Birthday Escape is a B. That was what I was thinking, is that I wanted to bet you that. That was the look you saw on my face. Okay, I'll take the D's again without a smirk. I'm sorry. I couldn't help. That was floating into my brain. Also, Greyhaven the Navigator is a C while we're getting out there.
Look, you don't like it? Next time you got to do the grading scale, you know?
I know, that's what I thought when I looked at it. Okay.